titled the message, A Disciple Indeed. How would you like to be a disciple indeed? In John chapter 8, we find Jesus leaves the Mount of Olives and goes into the Jerusalem. And he winds up at the temple. And he's teaching. And in the beginning of chapter 8, a woman is brought to him that's caught in adultery. You know the story. And he says, I condemn thee, when he chased everybody away. And they all had to drop their stones because they were all sinners, just like she was. And he says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. And then in verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that follows me, he that walks in the light, shall have that light. Shall have the light of life. Then he goes back and forth with the Pharisees about his witness and who does he think he is to say that he's the Son of God. And he finally comes to verse 24 and he says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then in verse 30, as he spake these words, many believe on him. Some of the Jews just began to believe on him. They believed his words. And then we find, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts today. I just pray, Father, that the Spirit of God might teach us something tonight. Lord, that we find out right where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, you can reveal that to someone if they'll just be ready to listen and to do something about it. So Lord, I pray you'd preach through me tonight and help these people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just what is the Lord saying here? What does it mean to be a disciple indeed? What does it mean to be a disciple indeed? What are the marks of a disciple? What is a genuine follower? We could say, as a disciple, we need to live the crucified life. We need to follow the Lord. To be a disciple indeed means you're a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 29, it says, And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ. That you do everything that you do is always to please the Lord. So, what does it mean to be a disciple indeed? It really means that in reality, in your life, every single day, every day, you are walking with God. It's a truth in your life that you're a Christian and a Christ follower. It's a reality. It's a fact. The true disciple will be seen following his master. Just as simple as that. I don't know how I can make it any more simpler. As an apprentice, I never was an apprentice, but I was a helper. And I became a journeyman crane operator and rigger. So I never spent time in the apprenticeship program, but I did have guys that wanted to learn how to operate cranes. When they wanted to learn how to operate cranes, they had to stay with me. Everywhere I went, every job I did, they watched. And sometimes they were actually standing on the crane next to me and walking around on the table as it turned, but watching as I pulled the levers and what I was doing and fixing the load charts and getting ready to pick up heavy loads. And anyway, I mean, I would take them around the outside of the crane and I'd be showing them, now here, you got to check this, make sure you check this, make sure you check the levels in the fluid over here, and make sure you look at this. And then I'd turn around, boom. I'd bump right into them. And then I'd be showing them something. Boop, they'd be right behind me. Because they were following me everywhere. They wanted to see what I was showing them. They were trying to be a crane operator. And they had to learn from somebody who knew how to operate cranes. Well, if you want to be a good Christian, you're going to have to follow Jesus Christ. You see? And there's a handbook that we had for the crane. And you had to know that book for that particular crane. You had to know what it could do, what it could pick up. You didn't want to get in trouble. We have a handbook, too. It tells us what to do, what not to do, and how to stay out of trouble, and how to follow Jesus Christ. So what's a disciple indeed? He's somebody who's following his master and follow in this book. So Jesus laid the groundwork for true discipleship. Take notice of what the Lord said. True believers continue. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word. They had already said, we believe His words. But He said, now you have to continue. True disciples continue to walk with Jesus Christ. They're not little sparklers that shine for a minute and then they're gone. You see? True believers continue to follow the Lord in obedience to the handbook. In obedience to the Bible. Not quitting. Some never get started, but they say they're a Christian. And then some you see quitting, they're up and down. It's perseverance in spiritual things that shows the true disciple. Perseverance. Faithfulness. It's not that we don't have patches that are bad. Rough times. We all go through them. And I think God works in our lives during those times. But the faithful, true disciple indeed will just keep going on for God. Verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now the RU certainly knows that verse. That's their verse. And how sin loses its power. When you get saved, suddenly you have power over that sin. Not the disease, just the addiction of drugs. You have power over that sin now. You have a choice. The truth is that real freedom comes from obedience. Real freedom in our life comes from obeying the Bible. Okay? And freedom with no boundaries is very dangerous. With no boundaries. You know, I remember seeing a little girl. She was looking at a lion in the zoo. I don't know where I saw it, but it was a little video. And she's just looking at that. She couldn't have been this big. And she's just looking at this lion behind this heavy glass. And this big male lion, 500-pound male lion. And he'd look at her and then he'd start scratching that glass. And I thought, you know what separates this little girl from being eaten is a couple inches of glass. Freedom with no boundaries is dangerous. You know, the devil would love to get into your life. But if you put some boundaries up, you know, you can have the freedom to move around in your Christian life and you have a partition there that keeps you from getting into sin and Satan getting into your life. But freedom with no boundaries is very dangerous. Be careful. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, we can do a lot of things. When I was back in the States, there was a time when I went to a hockey game. And I love hockey. Watching hockey. Men hit each other, banging each other, amen. And then they allow them to fight there. They let them fight. Go at it until they get so tired they can't lift their hands anymore. And then they send them off the ice. But I wanted to watch a real hockey game. Not hearing the commentator, just watching the back and forth. That's lawful for me to do. I can go to a hockey game. Hockey game in itself is not sinful. But I'll never go again. The drinking and the cursing and the rock music. The whole time I'm trying to watch a hockey game. Blaring in my ear. I said, I'll never go again. Sporting events are like that, by the way. You may love soccer. But you may find yourself in a soccer match and there's nothing but cursing and wickedness all around you. You say, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? All things are lawful, but they're not expedient. They're not really helping you as a Christian, are they? This is some hard stuff sometimes because I like hockey and I like football. But I'm not going to go to a game again. I just don't think it's the place I need to be. I don't need to be there. It's not just in word, but in deed that reveals the true disciple. Many a person tries to cover their spiritual emptiness inside by outward religious talk and actions, and they're never not even saved. They may not even be saved. Real faith, real works. Real faith, brings forth real good works. Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. In verse 14, the Bible says this, "What doth it profit my brethren," James 2:14, "what doth it profit my brethren, that though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" Well, no. The answer is no. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth that profit?" What's that profit? Nothing. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." You can say you have faith. You can say you're saved until the cows come home, as they say. But until your life is filled with the works that come from saving faith. The works don't save you, but they show a saving faith. Works do not save us, but they certainly show a saved life. There's a lot of people doing good works. Mother Teresa did them. Who else is going to work with lepers? But that's not going to get you to heaven. Not for a second. Only trusting in Him, Jesus Christ, is going to get you to heaven. Saving faith will reveal a saved life. There's too many quitters, too many sparklers, too many roller coaster Christians. They're up, they're down. They're up, they're down. Now, like I said, none of us are perfect. And we're either going through a problem or we're coming out of one. But this isn't a constant roller coaster ride, the Christian life. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're hot and cold, we're in and out, we're up and down. That's not a Christian that's walking with God. So the question is, are you saved? Are you saved? And if you're saved, are you kind of attracted to the world and all of its sin? Sin is pleasurable. You all know that, don't you? Sin is pleasurable. For a season. And it bites. And it hurts. And it destroys. And it corrupts. And it kills. Look at verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So the question is, can somebody see my Christianity? Can somebody see that I'm a Christian? Look at me. Is it visible? Is it alive? Is it moving? You know, Adam was created in the image of God. He was made out of that clay, and God formed him out of the ground. And Adam was there. But he didn't move until God breathed life into him. And man became a living soul. So is that professed Christian or professing Christian who says, "I'm a Christian, I have faith, but there's no works." Works are the spirit of that saving faith, you see? Works are what shows us that we're alive, that we're truly a Christian, that we really love God, and that we're serving the Lord. That's a disciple indeed. A true believer follows the Lord, and that desire comes from obedience, from the promptings of the Holy Spirit speaking to them in their heart. It starts on the inside. Good works are the visible sign of saving faith. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And in verse 14. Remember, Israel wanted a king. Everybody else had a king. So we want a king. This guy Naash, or whatever his name was coming out upon him, and they said, "We want a king to defend us." Well, they had a king. They had the King of Kings, but they wanted a physical king that they could say, "He's our king." And they come to this point here where Samuel just says to them in verse chapter 12, verse 14, he says, "If ye will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God." Fear the Lord. Serve Him. And obey His voice. Are these three things evident in your life today? Tonight, can you sit here and say, "I fear God. I fear Him, more than I fear anything else. I serve Him, and I serve Him more than I serve anyone else. And I obey Him. Can you say that tonight? Or is there rebellion in your life against God? But you still say, I'm a child of God. I'm a disciple indeed. Or are you just going your own way? Well, are you following or finding? I really don't know what I mean by that, so don't even ask me. All I'm really saying is, once I was lost, but now I'm found. There was a time when I was away from God, and then He saved me. And now I know I'm going to heaven, Leo. I'm following Him now. I'm not trying to find Him. He found me. But the person who finds following the Lord in spiritual things difficult needs to do an inspection. All right? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. If you find it hard, you know, it's funny. Don't you find yourself pressed or preaching to the choir sometimes? People that are here tonight, many just said, I'm not coming tonight. I'm not coming tonight. I'm going to do what I want to do. You're all looking at me. But that's what they did. People do what they want to do. And they've chosen not to be here tonight. Hey, when this book's open, we're supposed to be here. I want to learn something from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates, except you be a hypocrite, a faker. Take a test. Do an inspection. Ask yourself, why am I not growing? Why am I the same now as I was yesterday and the day before and 5 years ago? Why am I like static? The Bible says to be immovable, always about it. It doesn't mean never to move. It means don't move from the doctrine, not just stay there. And I'm not doing anything for God. I'm staying right here. I'm immovable. No. You're static. You're not growing in the Lord. You're not farther along than you were a year ago. You're unmoved by preaching. Now look, an amen is good once in a while. It does. It just kind of lets you know you're all awake, you know. And maybe it keeps me awake too. But you know, you ought to be moved in your heart. You ought to be sitting there thinking, all right, He's just telling me what the Bible says. Now where am I? Am I a Christian? And am I following Jesus Christ? Am I a disciple indeed? And be moved by it. Is to serve God a real burden for you? If you saw me coming from across the room, and you knew there was a slot for teaching in Sunday school, and you were kind of like, whoa, here he goes, and you try to hide. You don't want me to come near you because he's not going to ask me to teach Sunday school. No way. No. Is serving the Lord a burden to you? You know, it's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege. I'm a co-laborer with Jesus Christ in the work of God. It shouldn't be a burden. You know, I was going to ask, have you ever said no to God as far as serving Him? I found it. I probably have. Otherwise, I'd probably be a liar. God, I don't want to lie. But you know, it's hard. I can't remember times when I said, nope, I'm not doing that. Would you do that, Dan? Nope, not doing that. I just want to say, yeah, I'll do it. I guess I can do it. I'll give it a try, you know. I just want to serve God. I don't remember telling God, no. I shouldn't have to twist anybody's arm to serve in Sunday school. I asked somebody to teach Sunday school today. And you know what their response was? No. Thank you. Yes, he said. I would love to teach in Sunday school. I've been waiting, almost like he was waiting for me to ask him. I was like, you've got to be kidding. Wait, let me do this again. Are you sure you want to teach in Sunday school? He said, yes, I do. I was like, okay, where have you been all my life, you know? So praise the Lord. But there's some that are not even in the church service, but they tell you they're Christians. Now, I'm not a fruit inspector. I don't know who's saved and who isn't. Except that, you know, we have a state over in the United States called Missouri. It's called the Show Me State. That means show me. So show me you're a Christian. Not necessarily for my sake, for your own sake. Take your own temperature. Are you alive? Amen. Are you a disciple indeed? So, take your spiritual temperature and find out, am I saved? And am I continuing in discipleship, walking with God? Can you point to a time when you received Christ? Now people say, oh, you don't have to know the exact day or time. I know that. But you better have an event in your life that happened. You ask any woman in here when a baby was born, she'll remember it. You better... We got amens got bigger as they went over this way. Amen! But I remember when I got saved. I remember. I can remember the time. I remember everything about it. I remember darkness to light. I remember it all. I remember that event. You know, Paul remembered it. Twice, at least Acts 22 and Acts 26. He rehearsed it in the ears of kings, emperors. He told them it was on that road. A light shined. It was Jesus Christ. He told them. That Philippian jailer, he remembers when he came in with the light. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He can tell you the time. Point to the very time when he got saved. Can you? Zacchaeus remembers when he climbed up in a tree. And Jesus said, come on down, I'm going to your house. Salvation has come to your house, Zacchaeus. Blind Bartimaeus screamed at the top of his lungs. They told him to shut up and he screamed louder. And he threw off his coat, it says, and he got healed. And the blind could see. And he remembers when his life changed. And I'll bet you that Samaritan woman at the well who came there when nobody else was around just trying to get her water and leave remembers when she met the Savior. Do you remember? Do you remember the day, the moment, the time when God birthed a new baby into His kingdom? Do you remember? I ought to be able to point to a time. Am I farther along than I was a year ago? 5 years ago? Am I growing? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Am I any closer to God at all? Jesus said it. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 1 it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow. Thereby, if so be, have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Once you get saved, maybe it's just a matter of getting this stuff out of our life. Maybe it's a matter of getting the evil things that we do and the lies and the deceit and the acting and the jealousy out of our lives, and maybe then we grow. Maybe we just got verse 1 out of our lives. Maybe verse 2 would be real. We begin to grow. And not only just desiring the sincere milk, we get on to the meat, you see. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace. Grow as a Christian. But in verse 17, the key is, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, that there's something, the whole earth's going to be gone someday. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You know what that tells me? Continue in the doctrines. Continue in faith. Continue going in the way that you need to go. And then you'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing as a Christian. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Just look at a couple of these. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 1. Paul, speaking to, I believe, believing Jews here. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 1. He says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Is the doctrine of Christ a good thing? Yes. Yeah. Let us go on to perfection. Is going on to perfection a good thing? Yes. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. Is repentance a good thing? Yes. But he says, don't lay that foundation again. You've done that. From dead works and of faith toward God. Faith toward God is good. But these are all things that happened back here when you got saved. Now move on. Let's keep going on to perfection. You're saved, but keep moving on. Paul's rebuking them because they haven't grown in their walk with God. They haven't grown at all. They're still babies. You know, babies are great unless they never grow up. How would you like to have your baby 30 years old and they're still changing their diapers? I don't think you'd like that, would you? Babies are great, but you want them to grow up. Stop acting like a baby, we say, don't we? And Christians need to grow up. Grow up. Look at the verses before in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I mean, the church should be growing from the inside out. In that as you learn, you also teach. Now, I guarantee you some people have been through the discipleship course, and you ought to be seeing Graham after the service saying, "Hey, you know what, I think I need to teach somebody. Sign me up to be a discipler, will you?" And then Graham will let you know, "Hey, maybe we can use you." Absolutely. But as you learn, you become more skillful in learning more. You know, you just grow up. You grow stronger and you desire more satisfying teaching. More meat. Like in Colossians, we're getting some meat. Some things that are a little hard to understand. But that's meat and it's good. You learn to grow. You start to learn to act and live just like Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're exercising your judgment and your discernment and you're growing. You know, there's a lot of guys, and even when I was younger, you do a lot of weightlifting, you know, and you want your muscles to grow, right? So you don't stick with the 10 kilogram or what is 10 kg. You got to move up, don't you? You got to get some bigger weights. Otherwise, the muscles, they go this way instead of this way, right? That's the same thing in your Christian life. You've got to exercise discernment, your judgment. As you know what the Bible says, you say, "I'm going to live like that. I'm going to use that in my life." And you grow. You begin to grow as a Christian. And you get stronger. All right. What should a Christian be continuing in? First, you need to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith and in doctrine. Turn to Acts 2:42. Acts chapter 2. You know, we really could use some Bible believers, I'll tell you. Real Bible believers. What I mean by that is, I don't just read it. I believe it, and then I go ahead out and try to live it. Acts 2:42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." You see, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know, they really stood with God in a very difficult time, these new Christians. And some of us just, we don't stand with God. We're just far enough away to appear a little bit different than the world. But we could really use some people that are standing with God to read it and really live it. You know, someone asked me one time, how many Christians there are, or something like that. I said, "Well, there's a lot of professing Christians. There's this huge pool of people who say they're a Christian. But then there's the Christians. Then there's the real Bible-believing, born-again Christian. But even in that, there's another smaller group. It gets even smaller, those who really love the King James Bible, the real Word of God, and that are really serving God. And are really disciples indeed." The pool gets really small. Just the same way they have these elite forces and SEAL Team 6 and all that. There's a big United States Navy, but SEAL Team 6 is this little tiny band of brothers who go out and do weird things, you know, in weird ways. Well, you know, really, there's this big professing Christendom, but there's only a little tiny elite, unique force that really wants to serve God. It really shouldn't be like that. But if we're going to be a disciple indeed, we need to be continuing in the faith and in doctrine. Turn to Jude chapter 1. We need to stay in this Bible. In Jude, verse 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend. Really struggle to go forward and defend the faith, the Bible, and what it says, with a real desire and a real focus to be a Christian. I'm not just going to pretend to be a Christian. I'm going to contend as a Christian. There's enough pretenders. We need some contenders. Some people are going to contend for the faith. Are you suggesting war? Yeah, we're already in one. I'm saying you're already in a battle. You're already in a war. You're already in a spiritual battle. So look, we need to be strong in the faith. We need to be continuing on and earnestly contending in the faith and in doctrine. We ought to know what we believe and then live it out in this world, this dark, dark world. On the brightest day of the year, it's dark in Ireland. And it's dark everywhere in this world because it needs the light of Jesus Christ to shine. And we're the lights that need to shine in this world. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. If you give me some time, I just want to read the passage of Scripture from verse 6. Let the words sink in as I read it here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You know, sometimes you don't have to preach. This is preaching. I'm just preaching the Bible here. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How often does that happen in our life? We stay away, but we don't reprove. Mainly because we're having fellowship with these works of darkness. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. He's talking to Christians. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You don't partake with evildoers. We don't go out and act like they act and spend time with them. We're supposed to reprove those acts. Reprove the works of darkness. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. I mean, if you want to be a disciple indeed, enough talk. He said, continue in my word. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 13, Jeremiah 6:13, talking to a stiff-necked, rebellious people. For from the least of them, 6:13, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Ask the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. From the best to the least to the greatest, they all said, nope. They were stiff-necked and they were rebellious people. You say, well, that was Israel. Do you have covetous in your... Are you covetous? Do you ever deal falsely in your life? We all do. And they have healed also the hurt of my daughter of my people slightly. Talking about the priests. Oh, it was okay. You're okay. Don't worry. It's okay. It wasn't okay. A little bit of repentance isn't okay. Full repentance is what was needed for Israel. But they said, it's okay. He just healed them slightly. They needed to repent and turn back to God. They weren't even ashamed of what they were doing. They didn't even blush anymore. And where do we find ourselves sometimes? Because we're not walking with God. We're not walking in the faith and in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, many of us at times have lived in a way which is against the truth. And that's dealing falsely. We need to be careful. How about... behind a little bit. Acts 14:22. Look at Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Continuing. In verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, this is Paul and Barnabas coming back to church as they started, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. He was confirming the souls of the disciples. That means he was coming back to the church and saying, I want to strengthen, I want to edify you, I want to help you, but I'm also making sure where the true disciples are at. And then I'm going to exhort you to continue, keep pressing on, keep pressing forward. Find out who the ones that are that got saved, and then encourage them to keep moving forward in the faith, in truth, in obedience to the Word of God. Confirming and then continuing. Why? Because there's a wicked world out there. He says we must pass through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. There's going to be a lot of persecution. It may come greater and greater as we go on in this world. More persecution against the Christian. What are you going to do? When you're told not to preach the Bible, you don't preach against homosexuality anymore. You don't preach against sodomites. You can't do it. What are you going to do? I hope you're going to preach. I hope you're going to tell people the truth at the door. Tell them, look, if you die without Christ, you're going to hell. That gets so watered down nowadays. We're afraid to say anything that might offend somebody. Well, Jesus said it to us, and I'm glad somebody said it to me, because that's why I got saved, because I didn't want to go to hell. And they gave me the truth. What are you going to do when they tell you you can't do that anymore? 1 Timothy 4:16. I'm just looking at verses that have continue. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you. That hear thee. So here's Paul. He's talking to this young preacher named Timothy. And he's telling him, take a good look at your life, Timothy. Take a good look at yourself and also what you're teaching. And continue in them. Now, in doing that, he's only showing the evidence of his salvation. But he says, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continue. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't back up. Don't quit. Keep moving forward. It's the mark of a true, genuine follower of Jesus Christ. It's a disciple indeed. We all have someone that's looking up to us, by the way. Everybody's following us, you know. Or somebody's following you is what I'm trying to say. Somebody's looking up to you. It might be the kids in the Sunday school are watching. Some of the kids in the Sunday school are back there that are seeing their Sunday school teacher here tonight. That's a good thing. They're watching. They're also watching their parents. People are watching you all the time. And that's not a bad thing, but you ought to take heed to yourself. Pay attention to what's going on in your life, just like Paul told this young preacher. He told him to be something. Be an example in verse 12. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in what you say, he's saying, in what your behavior is, in your love for God, and your zeal, and your trust, and your faith, in all those things, be an example to the believers. I should be an example to you. You should be an example to me. Iron sharpeneth iron. It helps when I see people going on for God. That encourages me to keep going. But we're not only to be something, we're to do some things. You see what it says in verse 13? In verse 13 it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." I hate to ask how many people have read a book in the last year and have actually opened a book. It's a physical book, like the one you have on your lap. A real book, not a Kindle or whatever they're called, and not reading off a computer screen. Actually, a book in your lap and read it. All the way through. Not the first page and the last. Not the cover and go, "Oh, that's right. That was a good book." Really read a book. We don't do it anymore. And it shows. It shows in a lot of Christians that they don't do any reading. You know, Spurgeon, all right, great preacher and all that. But you know what? He did a lot of reading. Not just his Bible. He read tons of other books. Not to get swayed away from this book. Read this book every day. But you ought to be a reader, too. Just read. Reading and exhortation. That means encouraging other people. And then, and the doctrine. You see, there's that heeding Bible truth. So we should be this, and we should do this, and it keeps a balance in our life. That's what he was telling this young preacher. And then in verse 15 it says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." I'm sorry, verse 14 is what I wanted. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy." You know, everyone in here, if you're saved, you have a gift. You have at least one spiritual gift. I wonder if you know what that is. I wonder if you've ever even thought, "I wonder what kind of spiritual gift I have," because we all have one. I can see people now going, "I don't know what. You have a gift? I didn't know I had a gift." Guess what? You're all gifted. Everybody in here that's saved is gifted. You have a spiritual gift. Now, I threw some down: preaching and serving, teaching, exhortation, mercy, the gift of helps, just having a servant's heart. You ought to say, "Well, Lord, teach me what my spiritual gift is. What do you really use me in? And how am I really used of God? And what areas of my life? That may be my gift, and I'm going to nurture that. I'm going to do more of that. I'm going to watch you bless me." Some people may have more than one gift. But Timothy was told, "Neglect not the gift." Don't tell God that you don't have a gift, because you do have a gift. Stir it up. Don't neglect it. Use it for the glory of God, because He gave you a gift. Use it. So, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:14, just turn over one book. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Alright? So Paul, actually, if you look in verse 12, it says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." You see that in the world today. "But continue," he's telling, "but you continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Keep going, Timothy. Even in the face of persecution today, even when it's frowned upon to be a Christian, even when being a Christian now is bad, and not being a Christian is good. It will not get easier to be a Bible believer. It's not going to get any easier to be a real Bible believer. Remember that big pool? And then that little one's going to get even smaller. This little tiny remnant that really wants to love God and serve God in the midst of persecution and trial and affliction. And we haven't had any of it yet. You might have somebody shut the door on you when you're out soul winning and go, my life is over. Look, they don't love me. They don't care about me. Are you kidding? That's nothing. Get used to it. Because right is wrong and good is evil and up is down. It's all backwards now. The world hates the Christian. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. They don't want to be accountable to God. In your workplace, in your world where you live, you're weird. Amen. Some weirder than others, finally. Some much weirder than others. And and you're intolerant. You're told, oh, there's only one way to heaven. Oh, you can only do that, and you have all the answers that you can only do that, and you're not allowed to do that. And I'm just telling you what the Lord said. I'm just telling you what God said. And I can't tolerate two men marrying because it's not a marriage. That's all. It's just not a marriage. You can call it a marriage if you want, but it's not a marriage. I mean, I got Obama for 4 more years over there. You call me intolerant. I got to put up with that for 4 more years. I'm not going to be allowed to say that now. Soon they won't let you talk about political things. I don't care what they say. I'm just trying to tell you, you are wrong, you're evil, you're archaic, you're ancient, you people, you're ancient. You're old. Where do you come from? You're all weird because you're Christians, because you're against the flow of this world that is going away from God all the time. And there's times when we start flowing back with it, we have to think, why would I want to continue on for Jesus Christ? I love you so much, Lord. Help me to keep walking with you, because sometimes I get caught up in that. And I want to just stay with you. Boy, I wish I'd have remembered about reading. Yeah. I'm going back to that. You know why I don't read? Because there's too many guys playing these video games. I don't know how many enemies I just made. Put the video game down and read a book.
Amen.
All right. Now I got that off my chest. But it's archaic. You're the problem, you're told. You're told you're the problem. Why? Because you're continuing to follow the Lord. That's why. Because you're a light. Turn to John 3:19. Remember what Jesus said in John 8:12, and they didn't like it. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He shall have the light of life. So wherever you go, and you're a real Christian, guess what? You bring light. And they hate it. You say, why do you say that? Because Jesus said it. Look what Jesus said in John 3:19. And this, let's start in 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Praise God. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Get away from me. You bring light, and the darkness can't comprehend the light. So keep your light shining. Light. The darkness has to go away. That's all darkness is the absence of light. That's all it is. We need to let our light shine. That's one thing we should do, and the other one's, I've really shortened it. But if I get, I think I'm preaching again another couple of weeks, I might finish this. A couple more of these, but we ought to continue in prayer. We ought to continue in prayer. I thought these were the two most important things, but then the other three I thought they're important too. So I would like to talk about them. But to continue in prayer, remember Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer with thanksgiving. Man, I like that. You know, sometimes you find yourself, you are doing some things right. And I always find myself thanking the Lord. I just always thanking him for something. And believe it or not, I took the pastor's advice and I started a Word document. You look amazed that I said I followed his advice. And I started keeping track of all the things I'm thankful for. And I started writing them down. Well, typing them. And I just started realizing how many things I'm thankful for. Now I'm in the hundreds, 200s or something like that. I just sometimes you go back and goes, I said that already. That's all right. It just fills the paper up. But I'm thankful for a lot of things. And we ought to continue in prayer for thanksgiving for what the Lord's done for us. But Romans 12:12, you don't have to turn there. I just put them up here. It says, rejoicing in hope, because we have a sure hope, don't we? And then it says, impatient in tribulation. Boy, that's going to come. We're going to learn patience. But continuing instant in prayer. That means to be ready all the time. With no delay, always ready to fall into prayer. Anytime. Continuing, instant in prayer. I wonder how many of us really have a substantial prayer life. That's a discipline that Christians, we do lack. We're just not there. When we hold it up to Jesus Christ and his prayer life, we'd say, ooh, my prayer life is nothing like that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Good memory verse for somebody who wants to have a life verse. You'll never forget it. Pray without ceasing. Have you ever tried to fill your whole day with prayer? Just a couple times I went away on those prayer advances I used to tell you about over in the States. And that's all you do is you get preached at, and then you go pray. Then you get preached at, then you go pray. Let me tell you, after a while, God just begins to dig into your heart and peel things back. And you're like, I didn't even know that was in there. You ought to spend a day in prayer. I wonder if we could ever do that, just spend a day in prayer. Wow. And if there ever was a time to pray, it's today. Wow, do we need to pray. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our countries. I mean, as I said, look at all that's going on in the world with all the famine and wars and rumors of wars. I mean, this world ain't getting any better. They're crying peace, peace, where there is no peace. There's no peace till the Prince of Peace comes back. But we need today to be learning to pray and continuing in prayer. That's a disciple indeed. And a true disciple will practice this discipline. Jesus did. You think he wasn't busy? If anybody was busy, it was Jesus. He spent all day serving his Father. And then he spent all night in prayer. I don't know how he did it, but he was just a human being. He was just a man. But he'd stay up all night, and then he'd go out and spend the whole day. And sure, he'd get tired, and he probably just went out. In fact, he slept on ships that were being rocked all over the sea. That's when he got some sleep. That's when he's so tired, he just went to sleep. But in a busy world, we need to make time. There's a lot of things that are taking our time. That one-eyed monster in the living room, the video games, the chats and talks and yaks, and I don't even know what half goes on. But we need to slow down a little bit and pray because we're not doing it. And finally, our families. Praying for our families and our nation. How about this nation right where we live here? You know, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You know, I'm not making light of it. The President of the United States is the President of the United States. I could say they got what they deserve. They voted them in. Let me just tell you, the people at the front desk asked me, what do you think about the election, Dan? And I said, as I was thinking, I said, maybe I should just, you know, give my normal, you know, oh, well, you know, whoever wins, wins, you know. But it just hit me. I said, you know what? Since you asked, let me tell you. Since 1972 in the States, 50 million children have been slaughtered in the womb. 50 million. 50 million children that never breathed air, were innocent. In the womb of their mother, they were slaughtered and killed. Okay? 50 million. 1.2 million a year for 40 years. And 3,500 a day in America. And of the free and home of the brave, which I love, by the way. And I'm sorry in my heart the direction it's going. And now sodomites are saying that they can marry. All right? That bothers me. But righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When I got done telling them that, I said, do you remember the 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust? Horrible, wasn't it? They write books about it, have movies about it. They don't have any movies about the 50 million that are killed in the womb. The safest place a baby can be, we thought was in the womb of its mother. Not anymore. Okay? When I looked over at Phyllis, her face was... I said, Phyllis, you're speechless. She said, I didn't know that. Shame on us for not knowing some of the things we ought to know and be praying about. God help us. And we ought to pray for each other. Can I just tell you, thank you for praying for my name? Thank you. Because whatever, God brought it to you. If you ever did pray, whatever, I don't have to know that. We're just saying thank you if you did. Because my knee's getting better. It's nice to walk around without a brace. But let me say this. Is there not a cause to pray today, to continue in prayer? Is there not a cause to continue? A true disciple will what? Continue in the Word of God. We just looked at two of them. Have you taken your spiritual temperature? I mean, really? Am I hot, cold, or lukewarm? What am I? Can you point to a time when you got saved? Point to the time when you got saved. What should we be continuing in? The faith and doctrine we looked at, and then prayer. There's at least those two things. Maybe we'll look at three more the next time I get an opportunity. Are you a disciple? Indeed. Let's pray.